talk for a couple of minutes. And, there are, is there any teaching that goes on here at SRI?
No. One or two people have part-time teaching appointments at Stanford, mm-hmm. but we do no teaching formally, and award no degree.
Do postdocs come in and
yes.
work? Yeah.
Much of the work in chemistry is done by postdocs.
I see. Okay. And,
the permanent staff members write the proposals and manage the programs and at least check the reports, but they're too expensive to use for something that we can find, for which we can find somebody less expensive.
Okay, okay, this is Leon Gortler interviewing Frank Mayo in his office at the Stanford Research Institute.
SRI International now.
SRI International in Menlo Park, California on January 21st, 1981. I told you that I wanted to get a little information about your background. I know you were born in Chicago on June 23rd, 1908, but I know absolutely nothing else about...
Both my parents were school teachers. Mm-hmm. My mother in the elementary school, my father was a principal.
Can you give me their names?
My father was Frank, and my mother was Clara Ray, R-E-A, which is my middle name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That part of Chicago was, when I was born and growing up, was an area of vacant lots and scattered buildings.
What part of Chicago was that? That's
74th Street near the lake, uh-huh. south.
Okay. So not too far from the University of Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
3 or 4 miles.
Okay. Did your father, what kind of influence did your father have on you? In terms of your early education or just in terms of what remained with you?
Well, my parents assumed from the beginning that I was going to college. They didn't try to influence me in what direction I should go. I guess my father was good at figures. My mother, I guess, was quite a scholar in almost any, in a large number of areas, although she never got beyond what was then called normal school.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
One brother, now retired. He was professor of English at Northwestern until quite recently. He's 2 years younger.
Okay. So the family financial position was such that you were not wanting, you didn't...
That's right. We were secure, but not wealthy.
Okay.
Quite the contrary.
Were there, in the school system, were there any influential teachers that you had at any given time, or were there any books that you were reading that you felt were particularly influential before you went to college?
Well, I had some good teachers and some that were not so good. I guess perhaps the most influential thing was an old book of my father's. It probably dated to the 90s. It was Newth's, N-E-W-T-H, Inorganic Chemistry. It was about that thick. And I used to, in odd moments, I just used to look through it. And I got used to the lingo and as to what was going on before I got it very far into high school.
Mm-hmm.
I took a course in chemistry in high school, and it was, of course, very easy for me. And then as I was leaving high school, the University of Chicago gave a competitive examination for high school seniors in the area. One of these was in chemistry, and I got the prize, which was a year's tuition at the University of Chicago. Before that, I had been undecided as to what aspect of science or engineering I would go into, but when I got this scholarship, I said, well, I might as well start with chemistry, and I stuck with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you didn't consider any other institutions at that time?
Well, I was considering, well, what was then Armour Institute of Technology and the University of Illinois, but the scholarship at Chicago settled it, and I commuted all the way through undergraduate and graduate school.
I see. Okay. Beyond the first year, how were you supported in college?
Well, I got another scholarship.
Okay. Why?
In fact, I think I was awarded scholarships to continue for most, if not all, of the time I was there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, can you tell me something about life as an undergraduate at the University of Chicago? What was the department like? What was the college like at that time? I was a student there some 25 years later, so I'm sure things have changed.
Well, Schlesinger gave the general chemistry lectures, mm-hmm. assisted by Dr. Link, and I think they were both quite good. Stieglitz was the chairman of the department, and he gave the advanced organic chemistry course. It was a very well-arranged course, but in retrospect, it was 10 to 15 years behind the times. In other words, I was taking it in the late 20s, and I think he stopped activity in chemistry considerably before that.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, sound material, but I think out of date.
That's interesting. Stieglitz is always considered one of the forward-looking people. And
well, he was a pioneer in physical organic chemistry. I think he did the first of it in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess that about that after the First World War, that his administrative and perhaps other duties mm-hmm. Kept him from keeping up very well. He was not obsolete. He was still better than many other physical organic chemists. But I think that by the time I finished in 1929, the course was out of date. The other major professor was Harkins, who was, I think, an able research man, but a terrible lecturer.
He was what, their physical chemist? Or
he was the chief physical chemist.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking him in a course I was taking from him, what is entropy? You've been talking about it. He says, well, he says, you just stick around and you'll understand it eventually. I have a working knowledge of it now.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the way people come to entropy eventually, through working at it.
I found chemistry in general to be quite easy. I had quantitative analysis. Excuse me. Respectfully.
I can understand that.
Was W.A. Noyes, who just died. W. Albert Noyes.
Yes, I know. I didn't realize he had...
I found the courses, found these courses with him very easy.
Okay.
And I did much better than me.
He was on the staff at Chicago then, too.
Yes, okay. He left in the late 20s for Brown.
Okay, and then eventually went to Rochester.
Brown and Rochester in Texas.
Yeah, okay. Now, what did Noyes teach?
Well, he taught me quantitative analysis and physical chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Who taught the undergraduate course in organic chemistry? You said Stieglitz taught the...
At that time, it was a man named Nicolet, N-I-C-O-L-E-T, who left, who was at least middle age, and who left the department before I graduated for a job in government.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the textbooks that were that you used at that time? Who might have written the organic textbook?
I guess I tossed it out.
Okay.
I don't remember the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stieglitz didn't have any book. I'm not sure that Harkins. Well, wait a minute. Karsh came about 1928, and I took some courses with him mm-hmm. in the last year there, which was 1928-29.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. The other organic chemists, Gladfelt was did a lot of the undergraduate teaching. I'm not sure that I had much, if any, with him.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing? Did you end up doing any research at that time?
At the undergraduate level, no.
Okay. Were there any of your colleagues at that time, any of the other undergraduates that that you remember well that ended up going into chemistry as well?
Well, several went into chemistry. I remember some of their names. I don't know that any of them reached prominent positions. At least I haven't heard from any of them for,
mm-hmm.
I might say, since.
I see. Who were a couple of the people that you just... well, that's all right if you don't remember.
Well, I remember some of the people I saw the most, but a man named... Solomon, Lowenstein, Sears. Guess Sears eventually got a PhD at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
A man I remember better and have kept up with was a year ahead of me, and that was Albert W. Meyer, was an inorganic student, but we ended up working together at U.S. Rubber,
mm-hmm.
and still keep up with him. He was 1 year ahead. One of the star students a year ahead.
Now, do you remember at that particular time being introduced to, or what were the concepts of the atom? What did you, do you vaguely remember that at all? Obviously a lot.
Yes. We had an introductory dose to quantum mechanics, which I didn't absorb very well. I had a course related to this in the physics department.
Okay, you had a little bit of quantum mechanics, and then you said...
Well, I think it was probably a course in spectroscopy, a lecture course by Gale. Maybe it was with Henry Gordon Gale, who was also dean of sciences. He was a terrible lecturer, too. And I think the spectroscopy... inevitably led into quantum mechanics, but it didn't register very well.
And then you had some, you said something about a physics course that was related.
That was the course by Gale on
okay.
spectroscopy.
Okay. How about math? That seems to be one of the...
I got through two quarters of calculus.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's considering your facility with math later on.
Well, if it's facility, it's with the simplest part of it. Differentiation, okay. integration, and rate equation.
How about, do you remember any courses outside of science that were particularly influential that appealed to you in any way?
Well... I had some courses in education. I was headed toward high school teaching. However, a month or two before graduation, Stieglitz called me in and asked me what my plans were, and wouldn't I like to apply for a fellowship to do graduate work at Chicago? Well, I hadn't considered it, but I decided I would.
Mm-hmm.
And Karsh had some money, and would be glad to have me, and so we made a deal. And the high school teaching disappeared. I thought that I had lived off my parents long enough, and I ought to get out and
mm-hmm.
get to work. And I had enjoyed my high school career, and thought I would go back to it. But I was fortunate to have had the offer, and things have turned out very well. Let me see, what else do I want to say? As one of the, shall I say, better freshmen, I was invited to take a course on the nature of the world and of man, a survey course at the university that ran for 3 quarters, where they had leaders in many fields of science come around and talk for a week or so apiece, and then we would discuss it. The first 2 quarters of this were pretty good. The third quarter was a course in philosophy called Reflective Thinking in the Philosophy Department. It was pretty much a total loss. Some of the other students would have animated discussions with the professor. I couldn't figure out either what they were saying or whether it was worth talking about.
I understand.
I have some blank spots.
Okay, so because of this sudden offer, you really didn't consider going to any other graduate school.
It was, that's right. I didn't consider going to any graduate school.
Okay. And did Karash support you during? You were
yes,
finished
he supported
in about two
me
or three
all
years,
the way so. Through my graduate work and for 1 year thereafter.
Okay, that was that's right. There was an Eli Lilly fellowship,
yes.
But that was okay. Now, did you take any further courses in graduate school, or you just?
Oh yes, there were several special topics courses, and there were required courses in inorganic chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And
I suppose Schlesinger taught the inorganic chemistry then, or
I think he may have, although Warren Johnson. Was there also.
Okay.
Well, Anton Berg was active in inorganic chemistry at Chicago during most of my career there. I guess he was a year or so ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Was the name registered?
Yes, I just came across it the other day. He came to the West Coast
eventually. He's at USC and is
okay.
Retired now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then you already had the advanced organic course, or
yes.
Okay. So yes, we were talking about the. I asked you before about the atom and about bonding theory.
Well, we got a good deal of Lewis, and I think the textbook for organic chemistry in the middle 30s was Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I had enough of it to get by. In fact, as an instructor at Chicago about 1936, Wieland came and gave a course in quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if I should take it. He said, well, you'll get along all right without it. And so I didn't take it.
I see. And you have. So.
Some of the language is still a little foreign to me, but it doesn't bother me much.
Okay. How about, so at this point you're about to work with Karash, and how did you decide on the problem you worked with?
He decided that.
Yeah, and he told you?
Yes.
Did you begin by working on the HBr addition to alloic bromide? Or
no,
alloy bromide?
We started on 2-pentene. A couple of his previous students had worked on that with contradictory or uncertain results. They were able to get, they thought, either 2-bromopentane or 3-bromopentane by depending on the conditions of the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job was to go through this work and see if I could find any difference between 2-pentenes made from 2-bromopentane and 3-bromopentane. It turned out there was none.
Mm-hmm.
or I couldn't find any, and I went through a lot of fractions and monkey business. Koresh still wasn't wholly satisfied because this was critical to his theory of electromers at the time, which with the idea that these two pentenes would be electronic isomers but alike in every other respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so Walling was put on this problem later. And that's the work that was published. He found essentially the same thing that I did. Although he may have extended it to cis and trans.
At what point was it fairly clear to you that the peroxide was the problem?
After I got my degree. In other words, after I'd done the required 9 quarters.
Okay. That's how one satisfied the requirement for the PhD?
Well, Koresh agreed. Well, that was the minimum requirement at Chicago. And Koresh told me I could get my degree if I would stay for another year and continue work. So this was all right. And the thesis is that the effect was due to moisture.
Mm-hmm.
But a few experiments after that showed that it was indeed air and oxygen, and the effects of, he suggested putting in antioxidants and peroxides, and that clinched it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a research director was Koresh? What kind of you had a very long relationship with him, but how about at the beginning, and did it change as time went on?
Shedding.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You can pick it up if you're. Well, he was a bright guy, and I got along fine with him. After making allowances for the fact that he was something of a prima donna.
Mm-hmm.
But he was good enough to get away with it. We had a very pleasant relationship and very little conflict. One of the things that used to irritate me was that I would say I needed to talk to him. He says, come in and see me tomorrow. The next day he had gone to Wilmington or Indianapolis or someplace.
Mm-hmm. He was already doing a lot of consulting at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was well into consulting before he came to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly with Lilly and DuPont, but with a lot of other companies.
Mm-hmm. He had a very close relationship to industry over a long period of time.
Well, I think the reason is he was well worth his keep.
I see. Yeah. What about? We'll get back to Koresh and your later relationship with him. But who were the other graduate students in the group at the time, or in the department that you had? Close relationships with or talk to?
One was, who worked in the same lab with me, was Bruce J. Miller, who was at a small college at the time, but eventually ended up with Union Carbide and died in retirement in Florida. Another was Adeline Bloodgood, who got into teaching and died in middle age. Another who worked in the same room was Jewel D. Porsche, P-O-R-S-C-H-E. He ended up, I think, as a director of research for Armour, and then as a consultant, and he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some of the other labs, now as a student, when I was a student, not much was heard. I have heard little or nothing from the other students since. One I have heard from was Thomas Beck, B-E-C-K, who worked for a chemical company in Chicago Heights until he retired. I've forgotten the name of it, but it was a fairly well known.
Mm-hmm. Who did you talk to about chemistry?
Mr. Minnott.
Okay.
One of Carash's students, part-time at the time, was Herman Pines. Is that name?
Yes. Herman Pines developed hydrogenation work later on at Northwestern.
And catalysis and UOP.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Herman Block overlapped me somewhat. You know that name?
He was
a director of the ACS for many years and got an award, I think, in catalysis a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got pretty well up in the management of UOP. I didn't see very much of these people. I tended to stick pretty close to business while I was there in the daytime and then go home and stay there for the evening. I think I'll quit there.
Okay, were there...
Harris didn't have as large a crew then as he did later.
Yeah. How about... who did you talk to about chemistry?
Whom did I talk to about chemistry? Not very much with anybody but Carash, except to some extent the people who were working with me, but mostly we tended to our own business.
I see.
We tried to turn out the work.
People turned out an enormous amount of work.
We did have seminars. I remember Pauling was there at one of them, and quite a lively young guy at the time, as you might guess.
Yeah.
I have a rather clear picture of him at the end of his lecture, laid out like this on one of the tables in the seminar.
Sounds like something he might do. What kind of a chemist did you consider yourself when you finished? Were you an organic chemist, or did you consider yourself...
Physical organic.
Okay. Now, the term physical organic didn't even existed at that time.
Well, I got my degree in organic chemistry.
But
as you can see, you can see what kind it was.
Sure, you were doing what became very classical physical organic work already. From when you finished at Chicago and you finished that fellowship here, you went to DuPont.
When I finished the third year with Carash, there wasn't a very good selection of jobs.
That's right. It wasn't a very good time to be looking.
It was the summer of 32. And I had one offer which wasn't particularly attractive. Go into the dye business in Milwaukee. And Carash offered me an opportunity to collaborate with him on a book that he was going to write during that 1 year. And I did. And this is where I spent most of the time looking through the literature and trying to organize some of it. And this made up for a lot of the reading I didn't do as a graduate student.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a book was it?
It was to be a book on his ideas of organic chemistry. Perhaps based more on electromers than on resonance.
Mm-hmm.
But of course things changed after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was that hardly one chapter really got written. But I developed a very large card file on the things that he was most interested in.
That served you well later on. And then you...
Then I got an offer from DuPont and took it. And I think I got it because he pushed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the first group of six or eight organic chemists to come in since the Depression started.
Mm-hmm.
And so the old-timers were kind of glad to see us. That was their security.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some cutbacks in the meantime.
I see, yeah. Yeah. What kinds of work did you do at the Jackson Labs? Or
I was at the Jackson Laboratory.
Are they? They're
across the river from Wilmington.
From Wilmington. Right. Okay.
My job was rubber vulcanization accelerators exclusively. But I got exposed to antioxidants and to the neoprene business, which was going in the same building, and the lingo and procedures and testing in the rubber business.
I was picking up all the proper background for your later.
It turned out.
Yeah.
This gave me a start on a good many other people in the polymer business.
Yeah. You also did one piece of independent research on the reduction of pyridine ring. And
yes. When I got to DuPont, I had been determined that some quaternary ammonium salts were quite good vulcanization accelerators. And so it was suggested that I start looking at a large number of quaternary ammonium salts. And I was trying to make methyl pyridinium chloride and dimethyl pyridinium chloride. And tried methyl formate with pyridine and so on. And this paper is what came out of it. That it was published showed that the management didn't have much use for it. However, it got me into the formic acid